I'm Jason Thomas. On the phone, I have Matthew Houck, a.k.a. Phosphorescent. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you.
You're going to be in town this coming Friday. You have a show at the Vic Theater with Liz Cooper and the Stampede, and I'll mention the where you can buy tickets. I got to do that. JamUSA.com is where you can get tickets to check out Phosphorescent on Friday night at the Vic Theater. St. Louis. You're calling in from St. Louis today?
Exactly.
Just down the road there. You're originally from Alabama, and there's an old song of yours. It's hard to be humble when you're from Alabama. You live closer to home now, right? You moved to Nashville not too long ago, but
yeah, I moved to Nashville. Yeah.
You've been away from Alabama for a while. What kind of relationship do you have with your home state now? I mean, where you grew up is always going to be a part of you, but you've been away for a while.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, I've lived elsewhere for longer than I ever lived there. So yeah, you know, it is a weird thing about home states and hometowns, you know, how they are, you know, obviously always going to be a part of you. But, at this point, you know, what's the opposite of home? You know, it feels away, you know?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean about growing up in one place and going someplace else and sort of creating a life there. You were in New York for a long, long time, which, you know, it's an amazing/challenging place for an artist to live, mm-hmm. I would imagine, right? I mean, everyone and everything is there, record labels, music industry, musicians to connect with, but space is limited and it's crazy expensive. Yep. Nightlife can get a little out of control if you're not too careful.
Yep. These things, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your time there and how it shaped you and how it affected your music?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you know, growing up, New York City might as well have been Mars, you know, in Alabama. It's like, I don't know, it's kind of a I'll be showing my age here, but, you know, pre-internet, you know, it really was like it might as well have been another planet. And, so like by the time that it kind of, you know, that I had been through there a couple times and just from doing this music thing, you know, I really, you know, obviously wanted to live there you know, there's a great romance about that city, which is true. You know, I mean, it's an amazing place. There's just so many people, you know. But it was good to be there, and I don't know how it affected my music, because I feel like in some ways the music thing is so internal that it might not matter where I am. But that's not, you know, like that's how I feel about it. But I don't think that's totally true either, because clearly, where you are is a huge, you know, your environment is a huge thing. You can't, it's always going to affect what you're doing.
Yeah. New York it's a unique place. I mean, obviously there's no place like it. I, you know, the first time I went there, you already have a relationship with the city before you ever go there. If you're a music fan,
that's right.
so many artists that you love were from there. So many movies that you love or like took place there, like going on the subway. It's like, oh, I know this. I've seen this like a million times.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
But you're not there anymore. You're in Nashville now. Probably a family man. Yeah. Like big change in your life, change of pace and everything. 5 years since the last album. You're married now. You have kids. Like I said, you moved to Nashville. Is it different now making music when your life is maybe a little more settled? Is that a good way to put it? You have a wife, a family.
Yeah. It definitely, you know, it is different. You know, and it's hard to like sort of quantify all the ways, but yeah, you know, in the same way that I was saying, like, you know, your environment, it's always everything gets in there, you know, everything gets in there with what you're doing. Like for me the making of this stuff is like a, you know, it's so sort of inward looking. This is the first time, I guess what I'm trying to say is, this is the first sort of circumstances in which I've made a record and written these tunes, where there was something big enough to compete with the sort of selfish navel gazing.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly. Something bigger than yourself, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You know. So. So yeah. You know, it is different. And every time I was sitting down to write, the feeling was always the same. It still felt the same as the sort of compulsion to sort of, like, want to sit down and write a song. That feeling felt the same, but every time I would do that, inevitably my thoughts would go, you know, to these kids and like what I don't know, the sort of enormity of life and death, and what, you know, like the just this whole human experience, and you know, so it would just immediately go into this sort of large area, which to some degree, I guess it always did, but this felt, start thinking of something outside of myself, if that makes sense.
You said in the past you've written lots of sad songs, even though you said you felt happy at the time. Do you see that changing going forward?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, and for whatever reason, you know, when I that feeling that happens that to sit down and kind of make a song or make this music, it kind of comes from a sort of, for lack of a better word, sad place, you know, and I don't know exactly why that is. Any time that you kind of allow yourself to swim around in these kinds of like thoughts and feelings, to me, it always ends up being a very just sort of forlorn and, sad that this whole, you know, this deal is this, you know, and that's pretty much what this record, you know, puts, I think kind of puts a you know, spotlight on that. I mean, it seems that's why it's called C'est la vie, you know, and that's kind of what the whole focus of it is this sort of feeling of you know, what can you do? I mean, it's a big, sad and beautiful thing, you know, this life, and what else can you do but just sort of try to enjoy it.
Yeah, there were a couple of songs I wanted to ask you about. The first track that you shared from the new album, C'est la vie, was New Birth in New England. And that's a personal favorite of 2018. I'm not sucking up to you or anything. I'm just stating a fact right there.
Awesome.
The first time I heard it, the thing that stuck with me is that it's got a very like joyous sound to it. Would that be accurate?
It would be accurate. And it's, you know, it's strange because I'm glad you like it, and I love that song too. But I actually had a real real disagreement with the label about putting that song out as the single. In the end, I think they were right, but I really was like conflicted about it because I feel like it's the outlier. You know, it's different than a lot of phosphorescent music.
Sure.
And I'm proud of the song, and I do love the joyousness of it, but I did worry that it was like a red herring or something, you know, because for me, the tone of this record is like I was saying, you know, when I would, with the exception of that song, actually, that song did that. It was a joyous thing, and it felt like, sure, why don't we also, you know, I can also write about this stuff, and like it is joyous, and it's a beautiful thing, you know. But then I feel like the rest of the songs are pretty heavy and pretty, I don't know. I feel like this record deals with a lot of rough stuff. And so, I don't know. I did worry that it was kind of like a red herring, like I say.
Another track, Around the Horn, the first time I heard that one, I'm thinking to myself, this has to be amazing seeing the band perform this live. Because, I mean, it's 8 minutes. I mean, it just seems like it would be a great live jam.
Man, it is such a great jam live. it's easily the highlight of the set every night. We've been doing this now for, I guess the record came out, what, October? So we've been doing this for a couple months. And pretty much have had a show or something to do every day since the record has come out. We've been playing a lot. You know, we're in Europe and now in the States. But yeah, that is every single night like a highlight.
That's the first thing that popped into my head when I heard it. It's like, oh, this is going to be great live. Christmas Down Under. I mean, just obviously, just looking at the title, literally, mm-hmm. your wife, who's also in the band, Jo, she's from Australia, and
that's right. Yeah.
I remember being a kid and having this realization, like, whoa, wait a minute, Christmas is in the summer in Australia, and it just being a total mind blowing thing when I'm a little kid. But you've experienced it. So what's it like with?
Well, it's a mind blowing thing as an adult. Yeah, I mean, it's like it's a very literal. At least the first verse is a you know very literal. I was in Australia. I had taken some time off to. I went away from the family to let my daughter meet her grandparents and let them all hang out down there. And I just went by myself to the beach to learn how to scuba dive. It's great. Yeah, it is a it's so weird that Christmas is. I guess what I'm trying to say is Christmas has always been a very. I don't know why, but it always seems very sad to me. You know, Christmas time and everything, and so having those same feelings when it's 100 degrees outside and you're at the beach is very dislocating. Yeah, it's a very you know, they're still there though. You know, it's like a sort of enormity of you know, religion and the sort of idea that it tries to bring beauty into this world and the sort of hopefulness of religion, but the, you know, reality of sort of how bad it is and how bad it's, you know, all the horror it's caused in this world, you know.
Sure.
It's rough stuff. Yeah.
Transitioning from that, I mean, you know, I'm thinking of Christmas Down Under. I'm thinking of a shirtless Santa Claus on the beach with his little helpers and bikinis and stuff. I don't know. It's hard.
He's on a surfboard down there. Yeah. They also ramp it up. I mean, like, yeah, there's a lot of Santa on a surfboard stuff going on.
For sure. So you're a new dad. I'm a fairly new parent as well. I think we're about the same age. I'm interested to ask you as a fellow dad, what was the biggest shock to you? The new kind of dad lifestyle versus what you were doing before. For me, it was just being an owl for 20 years and just staying up super late, getting up late and having to transition, like, you know, going to bed.
Oh, no, that's exactly. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I'm the same. Like I was always, a night owl and still am. I mean, like you're talking about, well, there's two things, I guess. There's sort of the logistical shift of everything, you know, just about how you exist in this world, you know? And also it's combined sort of with, I don't know, being in a, like committing and being in a relationship with someone else. You know, I was always kind of, I was very much a bachelor, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
So, you know, like there's those logistical, it's just like, okay, there's a whole other way to sort of operate, in this life, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, the biggest shift was, just the joy that they are, you know, and the sort of, again, like the sort of losing, letting go of this sort of, what is it, solipsism? Is that the word? Solipsistic? What's the word here for?
You're the lyricist. You know? I'm going to defer to you on that.
Yeah, this sort of, again, you know, selfishness and inward looking of concerns, you know, and just, and kind of, it just opens up a door into, to just, you know, experiencing someone else's delight in this world, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they reach that age too where they start to say funny things I find that to be super enjoyable, just the way they interpret the world and the questions that they ask. I mean, it's just
exactly right. Yeah, it kind of resets your own brain. They're teachers.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you mentioned your record label before. This is kind of an inside baseball question here, but if you're a big music fan or a record collector, this is stuff that you might think about, but the label that you're on, Dead Oceans, is part of a label group, right? Secretly Canadian and Jag Jaguar in there too. And you've been with them for a while, over 10 years now. And every time I get a record sent to me from any of those labels, I mean, it goes right to the top of the stack because I know how good their stuff is and your records are, you know, part of the reason why. But how did you hook up with them? As an artist, do you get super picky about who puts your record out, or does a label's history have any influence on you?
You know, man, to be perfectly honest, when I hooked up with Dead Oceans, I had also put out a record just before that on a label called Mizra, and the head of that label started Dead Oceans soon after. And at that time, I wish I could tell you that I had the ability and sort of clout to have chosen, you know, like I had my pick of labels, but
sure.
In all honesty, they were the only people that, you know, that had gotten back to me and were interested in working with me. And I think I'm really proud of what they've done. I think they've, I agree with you that I think they've continued to care and put out good records I think I got lucky. Yeah, I got lucky.
No, I can say as a fan, just like you notice those things, like being associated with a group like that. It definitely
right.
It seems like a plus on my end. Like it would be a plus on
cool.
You know, looking
cool.
At
yeah,
it from,
yeah.
From where I'm at.
Yeah.
All right. One last thing. You're playing the Vic Theater on Friday night. I mean, I played Chicago a ton over the years. Do you have any memorable Chicago experiences, performances over the years? People love to hear about the town that they live
oh,
in.
Man.
So.
I love Chicago. It's always been really like in the early days, even was always you know in towns where in other towns where I'd be playing for the sound man and you know one paying person.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep.
Chicago, it would roll up into Chicago and you know there'd be people there and it was always you know I mean yeah from early days but from Empty Bottle and yeah I like Chicago.
No,
good to us.
The Empty Bottle is a great place, man. It's definitely got like a lived-in kind of feel, and everyone's been there a million times and has memories. And it's yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me that you would mention that place at all.
Yeah, no, I love that place.
All right, well, hey Matthew, thank you so much for your time. Again, check them out, Vic Theater Friday night, and also on the bill, Liz Cooper and the Stampede, and C'est La Vie, of course, the new record. Can't recommend that enough. So, hey, thanks again for your time.
Man, thank you so much.